when my friends ask me, why the hell are you so into Burning Man? I tell them, well, it's like a five-year-old waiting for Christmas morning.
There is more freedom at Burning Man than there is anywhere else on the planet. It's anarchy in its finest form.
It's a place where almost anything can happen, and does. A crazy makeshift town under a brilliant desert moon, with an endless supply of exotic people bearing themselves body and soul to complete strangers caught up in the Burning Man experience. Out of the dust storms loom the circling art cars, carnival constructions on which burners, as the participants are called, have labored for months and hauled up 4,000 feet to the desert. It all takes place on an absolutely flat lake bed which dries out in the baking summer sun to provide a completely blank canvas miles across in any direction, rimmed by distant mountains. This place, called Black Rock Desert, is normally an empty expanse suitable for breaking world land speed records. But for 1 week at the end of August, 30,000 people arrive to turn it into the fourth largest town in Nevada, a place called Black Rock City, where they hold the climactic ritual called Burning Man and burn the huge human effigy looming out in the desert. Larry Harvey knows best of all what it's like.
It's a participatory event. It's not a spectacle designed to be consumed. There are no headline acts. You are the entertainment, in fact. Ours, we style a gift economy. That is, nothing can be bought or sold in a city of 30,000 people. In a normal festival, of course, money would be made from hawking goods to people while they were there. We sell nothing.
No T-shirts?
No. There are no sponsorships. There are no investors. There's no advertising. None of that. This is a city not only where you can't buy or sell anything, it's a city without trash cans. We tell people that they must take everything away that they have brought to the desert, leaving no trace in what is almost a metaphysical sense. Every sequin, every grain of sawdust. There's nothing there when we come, and there is nothing there when we leave.
But it's still pretty difficult to get to grips with what Black Rock City is actually like if you haven't experienced it. So I hired a recreational vehicle, an RV, an aluminium tent on wheels, and lumbered up the country roads north of Reno. As it got drier and lonelier, the trickle of RVs became a steady stream. I picked up two hitchhikers, Sam and Jim. Their car had broken down, and suddenly we turned off the tarmac and bumped very slowly down a makeshift road across the Playa, the dried-out lake bottom which takes the Spanish name for beach. The road is defined by hundreds of signs preparing Burning Man visitors for the experience they're about to emerge into. Sam knows what to expect. It's her second visit to Black Rock City.
So this is funny. There's this whole spiel coming in here on all these signs. Burning Man is a self-service cult. Wash your own brain.
Edging towards it in the queue of vehicles, we're not there yet, but Sam's excitement is already palpable.
It's very much fun to break out of the shell of who we are in the regular society, and it's like going back to kindergarten or preschool again, where you just get to play with your imagination. And it's the only place I've ever been in all the cultures that I've visited where I've experienced absolutely no judgment. It's like everyone is totally embraced. No matter who you are or what you're wearing or what you're doing, it's just there's so much acceptance. It's really wonderful.
So what am I going to find?
Well, you'll see a lot of art coming alive. You'll see last year there was a giant magic pumpkin that floated by, and there's a dragon that was about 200 feet long that was breathing fire made out of a whole bunch of different parts of cars. And you'll see lots of incredible costumes, body paint and feathers and all sorts of masks and wonderful wings.
And even as the RVs queue up to enter, Sam's husband Jim just can't wait to enter into the spirit of Burning Man. No, he's taking his clothes off here.
Already. So. And yes. What is he putting on?
Your skirt.
He's putting on a fluorescent colored floral sarong. And he's wearing a bra.
Which you need to keep the sun off the nipples in this hot weather.
I'll be the most normally dressed out there.
Okay. We're passing out of the ordinary, the conventional world, and towards the extraordinary one. And there are more signs looming up out of the desert sunset.
So someday you will look back on these memories and plow into a parked car.
Sam's a musician and a songwriter from Marin County, north of San Francisco. It's perhaps not surprising she's so excited by being here again. Last year's Burning Man was so overwhelming, she found herself getting married in the middle of it, just like that.
The night of the burn, Saturday night, we were enjoying some hallucinogenic substances, and we were watching the burn, and I just started shouting, "I love this man!" And all of a sudden, all over the play, I heard this echo, "I love this man, and I love this man, and I love this man!" And then he said, "And I love this woman, and I love this woman, I love this woman." All these people were joining in. Then the people next to us said, "Hey, have you guys thought about getting married?" And we said, "No." And they said, "Well, we're justices of the peace. We'll marry you right now." Yep. And that was it.
But before we can experience any of that stuff, we still have to get in.
Approaching greeter station. Please slow down. We love the greeters. Speed limit now 5 miles an hour.
You're here! You're finally here.
Yes.
Finally. But we're walking. You're doing this very nice. This is exactly how we'd like you to drive through the play. I'll just give you this and just keep trucking along and you'll have fun.
Oh, good. There's probably a map in there.
Yes, they may be exotic in Black Rock City, but that doesn't mean the place is unorganized. The price of admission into this world of free-for-all is more than $200, £130, and the organisers have spent months laying out the city plan, with signposted streets with philosophical names circling the great central plaza. Way out there, looming out of the dust storms, is the man, already standing on a ziggurat podium at least 70 feet high and glowing with slightly menacing blue neon. A mile or so away, in the centre of the city of tents and RVs, the burners gather in centre camp as night falls. And it's there that I run into a clever California scientist friend, Bruce Damer, in a sort of circus tent under the stars.
It's the Centre Camp Café, a marvelously beautiful tent structure, very large, holds probably a couple thousand people, and all kinds of activities happen here 24 hours a day. What happened to me the first year that I came in 99, after about the third sleepless night and wandering around, my old life started fading away. It was like, wait a minute, did I have a life where I did software for NASA or whatever and I sat in front of computers? And no, that was a dream. This is the present. This is actually what the world has turned into. All that stuff is gone. The whole world is now this. Total immersion.
But hang on a minute, how did 30,000 people ever come to be camping out in this fabulously elaborate but utterly makeshift desert city? It may sound like a pop festival or a holiday camp, but here in Black Rock Desert, the sheer hedonism of drugs, self-display and sex is seriously tempered by the harshness of the desert environment. Apart from ice and coffee, there's nothing to buy in Black Rock City, and it's hot here and dusty and living on the edge. You have to bring everything with you, a week's food, water and shelter. Keep drinking water, urge the rather authoritarian organisers. Dehydration is dangerous, they say. But why do it at all? We've already heard from the man who started it, Larry Harvey. 18 years ago, he was going through an emotional low point, which he decided to exorcise by burning an 8-foot-high effigy of a man on the beach by the Pacific Ocean in San Francisco, the way they do in California.
I called a friend one day in June of 1986. And I suggested we go down to the beach and burn a man, and he asked me to repeat that statement. It was the anniversary of a broken love affair, but what it was simply is what we call in Black Rock City today an act of radical self-expression, something in me just simply had to be embodied in the world, and we took the most direct route to that goal. In the event, we built a crude little wooden man. It was 8 feet tall, taller than us, and called a very few friends and transported it down to the public beach and set it on fire, and suddenly our numbers tripled.
other people on the beach turned up to watch.
Well, there's no greater attractor than a burning human figure. It's primal. Suddenly, we were joined by people who were quite enthusiastic. A woman ran up and grabbed the figure's hand as it burned. And we were moved by the enthusiasm of strangers. And that set us on our trail, and ever since then, we've been radically inclusive. That is, anyone is welcome to participate. We made the decision at that time to do it again, hence founding a tradition, and it grew like Topsy, and soon there were 800 people on the beach.
Eventually, the annual burn became far too big for the public beach, and after an intensive search across a wide swathe of America, Burning Man was transplanted to Black Rock Desert, where this extraordinary spirit not only prevails, but multiplies in a harsh and distant place.
An interesting thing has happened. People have come to this environment, and they've been put in contact with their own inner resources, as they never have been before in their life, physically, but creatively as well. Secondly, they have bonded with those around them in their struggle to survive, which is where community begins, not with some abstract sentiment of love toward your fellow man. It's going through struggles with people. So they have bonded with these people. They've had the most intense communal experience they've ever had. And in addition, they have felt that they belong to a greater whole, to a civic entity, especially in America, where all society seems like one vast vending machine. They have suddenly felt that they belong to civilization in a way. And they come away saying regularly that this has changed their lives.
Did you know what you were doing when you burnt that first man on the beach in 86?
No, I had no idea. I certainly didn't have that kind of conscious foresight. And yet, in another sense, I was looking at a plan of our city. It forms a great arch, and the man is at the geographic center of that. And I thought, gosh, that's a familiar pattern. And then I thought back to that night in 1986. A semicircle had formed before the figure as it burned. And I suppose the feeling of you really thought about it came down concisely to the notion that I am. And that was the radical self-expression. And then when I looked at the firelit faces of the people, half of them strangers that surrounded it with me, I thought, well, we are, so most certainly. And when I looked at the figure and beyond toward the horizon of the ocean and up at the sky, I thought, well, it is. It is. It was only 8 feet taller than us, but it was. And that's precisely what happens on a great civic scale in the Black Rock Desert today.
Welcome aboard the Artery Art Tour bus. Please remember...
For the week of Burning Man, Black Rock Desert is alive with all sorts of strange vehicles, mobile beds and sofas, mocked-up tanks, and a lovely glowing crescent moon, a tricycle built for two. Starting at sometime between 2 and 3 p.m., no, make that 4, the art bus takes us out over the Playa, on a tour of some of the 300 pieces of quite elaborate constructions which dot the miles of desert on either side of the effigy of the man. Self-expression, certainly, but maybe this really is a great gallery of modern art, just for a week here in the desert. The full-time curator of art here is Christine Kristen, who, in Black Rock City, calls herself Lady B.
The problem with the so-called art world is that it's very detached from the reality of most people's lives. You have to go into a gallery to look at it or a museum. You can't touch the work. You can't really have intimacy with it. You're certainly not going to be involved in building it or interacting physically with it in most cases. Here at Burning Man, you can help the artist build the work. You can climb on the work. You can touch it. It's there for everybody. The art is put out there. The artist isn't guarding it. In a sense, we have a little art school going on out here where we get people who've never made art. They make something 1 year. Maybe it's not so great. They learn from people. They come back. They're more skilled. They're more ambitious. They make bigger and better things. And then one day they get a grant. So we enable people who are not in the art world to make art.
On our right is Thermo Kraken, the angel of destruction.
Okay, should be ready for a wet test up here.
Okay.
It's a sculpture and a machine created to create different flame effects. It's also an alien life form.
One of the artists behind the flame-belching thermokraken is Vance Curley.
We're using a turbine generator run backwards for the air supply.
How's it fired?
Alcohol and propane. Before we came out here, we tested the Blossom, the main turbine, and we attracted most of the Berkeley Fire Department and Police Department. The fire department fortunately knows who we are and said, give us a heads up next time. You know, it's, they had them coming in code 3 from all over the city.
What is it about fire?
Fire? It's elemental. We've been sitting in front of fires since we were cavemen. These yellow geysers of flame you see out here, it's all yellow flame. These are very hot blue flames. It's something that shakes your whole being.
Just one of the stories in the Naked City. And I must say that for a lot of people here, it is naked, day and night, maybe with angel wings or silver paint, just one of the ways of getting away from ordinary life. Imagine 1,000 topless women on bicycles, the preferred mode of transport out here in the desert, the bicycle, that is. Another sensual way of evading the ordinary is the Spankomatic machine, just one of the thousands of ingenious things and ideas in the camps dotted all over Black Rock City.
One more.
He's really leaning into it. That probably kind of hurt.
I got some good padding.
My name is Dr. Tushwacker. This is the only fully automatic pneumatic spanking machine on the playa. Okay, now bend down. Bend your knees. There you go. Right there.
Did you have fun?
Yeah. Startling.
The world record is 300 spanks.
Wow.
Presiding over the Spankomatic, Michael from Las Vegas.
This is about people enjoying themselves without the normal constraints of what my neighbor would think about this, or what my family would think about this, or what my sister thinks about that. And isn't that a wonderful thought? You can do what you want for pleasure, and not necessarily what somebody else thinks you ought to have for pleasure.
And here's his wife, Licky Vicky, dressed in the leather and studs of the dominatrix, out here in the broad desert daylight, introducing volunteer passers-by to what she insists are the delights of being gently whipped.
To me, having a beautiful woman on the wall and sensually turning her on while she's standing there in front of a crowd of anywhere from 20 to 100 people watching her, and she has blocked out the entire crowd, it's kind of a unique experience for me as well, because I've given her such pleasure and such a touch that her electricity and her aura just zooms out of her body and it becomes mine. At this place, you can just be yourself, have fun, enjoy, love life, give life, and never expect anything in return from anyone.
And as you walk or cycle around the huge camp, you'll encounter oddities everywhere. Except that here at Black Rock City, they're not oddities anymore, because here the odd is the norm.
I am a god visiting this earth now. I have total authority. Bow before Booger!
A long-standing burner, Ray from Utah, has his regrets about the way Burning Man has gone, as it's got inevitably bigger in the desert and fenced in with a long, temporary fence.
Years ago, before the fence, Burning Man was a really alternative culture, and now it's organized. And it used to be the statement about Burning Man, there are no rules. You felt like a community. You know, 1,000, 2,000 people would burn something. You'd burn McDonald's hamburgers, and you'd burn RCA or whoever, you know. We had Stonehenge here one year, a replica, actual-size Stonehenge, and they burned that. And people running through it as it was burning, and two guys ran through it and hit in the middle. And they picked themselves up on the ground and scampered out. And by the time they got out, their hair was smoking. So good. It's different now, you know. It's like going to a carnival. If it was going to exist, it had to have the controls. And I don't know if I'll come back. I'm not into carnivals.
And although it's thronging with eye-catching people strutting their stuff, as the Californians say, it's easy to walk far enough away from the camp so that the ceaseless day and night sound is just a distant jangle, and the size of things overwhelms you out here on the playa.
The scale is absolutely immense. There is flat, gray-white dust, and there are enormous witnessing mountains, and maybe there's a moon and some stars in the most enormous sky you've ever seen. This is tabula rasa, this playa. That's what you start with. And you can put anything in that that you imagine that you are willing to follow through on and make. It's not just about imagination. It's about imagination coupled with follow through. And that's what you've got here, the possibility of doing both. That's what you're seeing. That's what's important. That's what I learn here. And that's what I go home and I do.
That's Galen, Bruce Damer's partner, almost forgetting that we're here all this week for the Saturday night climax, the moment when the Black Rock citizens all gather out on the playa to await the ceremonial burning of the statuesque effigy which started everything in the first place.
We are minutes away from the fire dancers coming out and twirling all their pots of fire and flipping things, and fireworks then go off, flamethrowers go off, enormous amount of fireworks, 2 tons or more of it. And suddenly the base is engulfed in flames, this enormous 4-story ziggurat, and it will just start going, and it's a ferocious, ferocious fire. Burned. They had a few surprises up their sleeves this year. They had this tremendous bang, multiple fireballs that started off, no warning, and then the show started, and huge filamentary flame-lit firelets coming out of the man, coming out of his arms and his torso.
Then he disappeared for a bit.
Then he disappeared behind the sheer amount of smoke. The base, when it started to burn, generated enormous heat and enormous smoke, so the man was occluded, came out through this pyre, and we saw him crackle and collapse backwards. Burning Man may represent a nexus of a cultural change to come that's worldwide. You know, we have a lot of tired old structures that need to be replaced, and you have to experiment somewhere with new models.
That might be happening here.
It could well. Certainly, when you come here, you feel like no other place and no other time on Earth.
And in less than an hour after it started, the celebrated man is just a few bits of ash. The structure has vanished, and the frenzy of self-expression grows even more intense. This year, a woman died under the wheels of an art car in the reveling after the burn, the first tragedy they've ever had at Burning Man, they say. But what do the few locals think of their curious, temporary neighbours, living just a few miles down the road in the tiny town of Gerlach? In the local bar, I asked Lonnie Cox, who works at the local gypsum mine.
I think we're not detached from it. We can't be. We're part of it, regardless whether we want to be or not. And they're nice to us. They are really, really good to the locals. And they've cleaned up their trash, which was one of my main bitches.
In the town, the trash?
In the town, on the side of the roads.
Because they make a lot of fuss about cleaning up the playa.
You bet they do. They're particular as hell about that. They clean up every cigarette butt. Anything.
Crime, no problem?
No problem with crime. This would be a bad town to start that in. Too many vets and everything else here. No, this would not be a good place to start that.
So all that weirdness out there is really just a curiosity?
Basically, yeah. Some of us go out to it. I don't go personally, but I take guests out to it. So I really can't say anything bad. I really can't. It would be a lie to do that. They treat me good. That's all I ask.
The burning of the man is tribal, and the burning of the temple is just a big sigh.
Meanwhile, back at Black Rock City, the ceremonies don't end with the burning of the man. On Sunday evening, there's another, more sober burn of a great temple covered in names which people have added to the structure during the week, of the things and the people they want to remember.
My boyfriend and I had blocks of wood, and we wrote on the blocks of wood, "Gay Shame." We had all of our friends that were camped with put just writing on the blocks, people who that they know that are in the closet and ashamed of being gay, people who've been maybe victims of hate crimes because they were gay, anything like that. Just had people write anything that they were inspired to write, and we put that into the temple so that it will burn, and we'll burn gay shame.
One of the cones that they have up there, I wrote on it, Thank you for bats. My grandfather, he lived down in Azusa, Southern California, and I would go down as a grandchild, and he would show me how to find the bats at night. It was like the coolest thing in the whole world when I was like 11. We'd throw hats up at the bats, and it was so cool. And I just want to say I love you, Grandpa. And I miss you. I didn't mean to get emotional. I thought I was under control, but actually, it's really good. Bats are like wonderful. I want to build a bat house in my backyard. I really do. I think my son would love it.
Oh yeah.
I love my grandpa, and I love bats thanks to grandpa.
People sat around almost silently as the flames rose, and the tears just come.
Wendy came all the way across the Atlantic from Brighton to witness the burning of the man and the temple too.
This is when you get the dust devils, little columns of dust twirling out and dissipating into the sky. And a young man behind me just said, "See, the souls of the people that we've thought about are freed." It just blew me away. I'm even choking now just thinking about it. And you get that such extremes of emotion here. And people who look like something out of Mad Max can make profound emotional and spiritual statements. Because it's in all of us. We've just lost it, and this is where we come to find it again.
After the burn, the Bacchanal. The embers are still being cautiously approached by thousands of people. Back behind me, across this still huge playa surface, are the camps and the kissing and the drugs and the partying going on and on. And above us are the stars that makes even a great combination of people and energy, even Burning Man, seem really rather small.